Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. I'm David Heimer, your faithful reporter. Today I'm talking with Roy White. Roy is the founder, owner, and president of Fixed Right and Guaranteed in Maryland. Roy runs a great business, and he has created tremendous, amazing growth while providing great service to his customers, community, and coworkers. I especially admire Roy's high ethical standards and his commitment to serving others. So Roy White, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
David, man, thank you so much for having me. It's an amazing honor to be here, like an HVAC Hall of Fame legend wanting to interview me. Man, thank you so much.
Oh, that's kind of you. So Fixed Right and Guaranteed was not your first HVAC company. Tell us how you got into HVAC and how eventually you started Fixed Right and Guaranteed.
Sure. Yeah. And actually, the way I got into the industry is probably not as exciting as the journey to Fixed Right. But right out of high school, I wanted to be a civil engineer. So I was working construction during the day, going to college at night, you know, because I had to pay for it myself. And actually went through a wintertime layoff with a construction company. And that was just kind of a wake-up call, like, man, the whole construction industry is pretty volatile. And I bought a brand new Mustang, you know, being an 18, 19-year-old kid, so I had a car payment. So my best friend actually worked for a local oil company, and he said, hey, come on over here. You never have to worry about a wintertime layoff. So I did that. I worked there for 4 years. And actually, when I left there to start my own business at 22 years old, David, I didn't even know air conditioning. We were strictly doing oil heat at that time. They were just getting ready to enter the air conditioning field. But I had a unique opportunity to start my own business and do some subcontracting for a guy that just said he could keep me busy. So I sent myself to air conditioning schools, you know, did a lot of self-teaching, different seminars I could go to, and then just slowly started to build that company. And the name of that one was R&R HVAC.
Roy and the other R, is that right?
It was Robbie. Yeah, Robbie was my best friend.
Roy and Robbie. Excellent.
Yeah. So it meant something to us, but not necessarily anybody out on the street, which is kind of what the second company's name had something to do with. So we ran that company from 94 to 05. And honestly, David, like even on our best day, it was just controlled chaos. I mean, we took really good care of our clients, but behind closed doors, I mean, it was just chaos. And we weren't business guys. We just a couple of young guys and knew how to fix stuff and didn't know what we didn't know. But I got burnt out pretty bad. So in 2005, I actually started dabbling in real estate, and actually my first year in real estate made as much money as I did working, you know, 12, 14, 16 hour days doing heating and air. It's like, man, I got to figure out this real estate thing. So from 05 to 08, well, first I sold my business to my partner and I entered real estate full time flipping houses. So 2005 went from zero houses to 2008, had got up to 27 houses and had a pretty good reputation. Wow. Within the real estate industry of kind of moving and shaking, stuff like that. And honestly, David, started buying into my own hype a little bit. Well, then you probably remember what happened in the real estate industry in 2008. Oh, yeah. And where I thought I just had everything going on, and I quickly found out it was just a house of cards that came crashing down. I actually went through bankruptcy, and it was just a debacle. And looking back, it's just because I didn't have a strong foundation under me as I was doing it. So in January of 2009, it's like, okay, I guess I'm going back to the heating and air conditioning industry. So that's when I actually started Fixed Right and Guaranteed. And because of the failure and some of the challenges I had within the real estate industry, I was very, I'm going to say, fearful, afraid, had a lot of limiting beliefs. So I was very conservative when I started Fixed Right. We just started out as a subcontracting model where we'd go install stuff for another oil company. They sell it, we go install it, which worked out well early on. You know, I could go out in the evenings, coach my son's football team, stuff like that. But as time went on, my guys got to where they didn't really need me on the jobs. They could do the installs without me. So I was actually able to go to work at NASA as a senior mechanical inspector. So I was kind of double dipping. I was running my heating and air conditioning company and being a senior mechanical inspector at NASA. So that was pretty cool. But that only lasted till about 2018. And that's actually when I found out about Service Nation Alliance.
So you work for NASA. That makes you a rocket science, doesn't it? So when they say this isn't rocket science, I say, well, I don't know. Roy White worked at NASA.
at least I know a bunch of smart people. I can't say I'm going to be as smart as them, but I certainly know a couple.
Very impressive. So you joined Service Roundtable in 2016. Then you joined Service Nation Alliance in 2018. And if I remember correctly, you had amazing, tremendous growth right after joining ServiceNation Alliance. So what were you thinking about when you joined ServiceNation Alliance? Why did you do that? And what did that do for you?
Oh my goodness, David, we've just come so far since 2018. So the reason I left NASA in the first place is a lot of people had heard I was back in business. So between working at NASA, having my own company, and certainly trying to be a good husband, good father, you know, you just get spread too thin. So something had to give. So it certainly wasn't going to be my company, certainly wasn't going to be family. So I made the decision to leave NASA. And it's funny because Stephanie Fritz actually called me. I remember sitting out front of a building at NASA, taking the phone call from Stephanie. And instantly, you know, I was already thinking about leaving there and starting kind of coming back to the company full time. And I'm like, and my son also had expressed an interest in joining the company. So I'm like, look, if I'm going to leave NASA, bring my son on board, I want to build something special. You know, I kind of worked through all the limiting beliefs and the failures from the real estate days. But one thing I did know, you know, because of that challenge in life is pride led me to put my family through hell, you know, probably about the best word I can use. So when I decided to leave NASA, I said, look, I want to do things the right way. I want to keep a strong foundation under us. And I realized that there's a lot of people out there smarter than me that can help. So when we came to the very first Prosperity Day, actually you were there, and I had no idea who you were at the time. And, you know, just so thankful to you and all of ServiceNation Alliance for what's happened. But all we did literally is we were coachable, David. Like if you guys said, hey, you got to raise your prices to be able to afford the best people on your team to provide them the benefits they need and deserve, then that's what we did. We raised our prices. Go to the first boot camp. John and Vicky LaPlante are there. They told us, hey, you got to know your numbers. Okay, let's learn our numbers. So the first year, I probably went to 7 different events. And that was before you had all the virtual stuff. So we were literally flying back and forth to Texas. Really couldn't afford to, wasn't in the budget. But man, every time we came back, we'd implement 1 or 2 things and it'd start making a difference. Like, man, we got to go back and learn more. And then after a couple of years of doing that, it's like, man, things just really started to snowball to where now we've been very fortunate. We've got 18 of the most amazing people on the planet that are on our team the last 3 years running. We've won the best place to work and the best HVAC company. And it's all about the amazing team that we have around us. You and I were talking before the podcast. You know, I just went on vacation, you know, here in July. And that only happens if you have an amazing team around you. So just so blessed and so fortunate. But the majority of it is because of ServiceNation Alliance and this great team around me.
I'm really impressed. Vacation in July, you know, that says you've got a great team behind you, because in heating and air conditioning, busiest time of the year, if you can take vacation in July, you're running a good company. That's a great sign. Way to go, man. So anything else we should know about Fixed Right and Guaranteed Now?
Sure. From the numbers perspective, when we first joined ServiceNation Alliance in 2018, we were doing $632,000 a year at a whopping 1.5% net profit.
And at least you're profitable.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, 5 years later, here we are just at the halfway point of the year, and we're actually on track to do $4 million this year at 20% net profit. So just, you know, from a number standpoint, just such an amazing difference. And again, that just allows us to do a lot more for our team because, again, they deserve it. So it's just, we're in a very different place in life than we were over the last 10, 15 years. And I feel like we're doing things the right way, keeping a strong foundation under us. We don't just put bodies in trucks. You know, we've just, again, got the most amazing people that serve our clients and we can trust in people's homes.
Yeah. So you can't grow the way you guys have grown without creating a strong team. And the challenge in our industry is for every company is finding good people, getting them into your organization and getting them to stay with you. Now, along those lines, you've created Super Tech University. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. So we all know, and you can hear at any of the big events any of us go to, people are constantly complaining and them screaming about the shortage of good technicians in our industry. And honestly, you know, that's true, but it's not going to change, especially if we're just trying to pull technicians from other companies. And even if you do, how many of them have bad habits? So we just decided, look, there are a whole lot more great human beings in this world than there are great technicians. So let's just find somebody that's a great human being and we can teach them the technical stuff. We can coach all that. So one of the things that's really happened for us over the last 3 years in particular is I had a local competitor who he and I were good competitors. We'd refer work back and forth depending on how busy we were. But if there was one guy in this area that could kick my butt technically, it was him. I'm like, Neil, like, you don't really like the business side and we're both stretched too thin, both wearing 10 hats each. Why don't we team up and do this together? So we've got one of the top guys in the industry, certainly in our area. So like all I need to do is just put people with him. And then certainly over time, he's taught other people on our team how to be much stronger. So now they can actually teach what they've learned and their strong suits. So it's like, okay, let's just develop our own coaching program, our farm system, if you will. So we've done some very specific things to try to make that very effective. Because it's one thing to say, okay, we're going to teach in-house, but how do you scale that? Mm-hmm. So a couple of things we've done is like we have a very specific first 30-day game plan. Day one, we're going to learn this. Day two, we're going to learn this. Day three, we're going to learn this. Whether it be here in our classroom or just having the technician on the truck with Neil, you know, out running calls. So sometimes day two might happen on day three, but in that first 30 days, we're very specific about what they're going to learn. And both Neil or whoever it is that's teaching and that technician have to sign off when they feel they're effective in that category. Well, then we get beyond that first 30 days and say, okay, if you're motivated to get to the next level, what's that next level look like? So we've actually created like an ascension plan, if you will. So to get to the next pay scale, here's what you need to accomplish. To get to the next pay scale from there, here's what you need to accomplish. So now people don't have to wait 6 months to get a raise. It's, no, here's what I need to do. And so they can make it happen as fast as they want to.
That's tremendous. Your raise becomes effective as soon as you do, right?
Absolutely. And then I'll give props to Aaron Ruddick for this one. Another thing we talked about for a long time, but we just weren't scheduling, just doing 90-day assessments with each and every team member, even like people in the office as well. So every person on the team has a very specific 90-day game plan. It doesn't necessarily affect the pay scale, but again, nobody gets lost in the mix. We're sitting down with everybody at least every 90 days. But again, back to the previous point, if they can achieve something that gets them to the next pay scale before that 90 days is up, well, they can come to me at any time and say, okay, we've got this. We both agree. They get a raise. But no matter what, every 90 days, we're sitting down with each and every team member talking about their personal goals, their work goals, and then having a specific action plan on how we're going to accomplish that. And then we do all the coaching that a lot of people do. In the summertime, at a minimum, we're coaching once a week. The rest of the year, we're doing 2, 3, and sometimes even more than that, you know, every single week, at least 2 to 3 times, either be internally, bringing outside speakers in. We've actually taken 7 different team members to Service Nation events, and that's been amazing, and let them see there's just a bigger world to what we do than what you would typically think about being on the service truck or in the office answering phones and all that
stuff.
What
a great experience for them. They've got to appreciate that.
And one other thing we'll do, like with audiobooks, last winter, every single morning before the guys would go on the road, we'd listen to a chapter. That particular book was Extreme Ownership, which is one of the best leadership books out there. But man, taking people to these events, listening to books together and talking about it afterwards, you just really started seeing people develop leadership skills that I don't think we would ever figured out that some of them had if it hadn't been doing for things like that.
So a couple follow-up questions. Maybe this is more of a comment. You're not just helping your team become better technicians. You're actually, you talked about their personal goals. Every 90 days, you're reviewing personal goals. You're helping them achieve their own personal goals, right? And they're becoming better people as a result of working with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fantastic. One thing I wasn't clear on, the Super Tech University, so is that a program that is shared between two companies? Is that how that works, or did Neil end up joining your company?
He did. Yeah, we actually acquired his company, I believe it was November of 2020, and he's just amazing. So he's our operations manager, but yeah, we're all under one umbrella now.
Oh, fantastic. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Good job. So I know over time you have changed your views about running a business. So what do you see as the purpose of your business now?
You know, I love what Jim Collins and Simon Sinek teach, starting with the end in mind. And I lost my father at 21 years old. So I kind of think about that probably more than the average person does, just again, losing dad so early in life. But, you know, I think about like, what do I want to be remembered for? You know, what do I want to be on my tombstone one day? And for me, I want to be known as a guy that made a difference in people's lives. You know, hopefully it's a positive difference, right?
Right.
But I want to be a leader, not a boss, you know, because ultimately people can work anywhere. So we've been fortunate to win Best Place to Work. But what are the things that we need to do to actually be the best place to work, you know, to actually be the best HVAC company? So I kind of think about, okay, the extreme ownership, you know, what they teach is, okay, what do I need to do to make sure that that happens? So it kind of starts with my job title. I don't call myself CEO. I don't call myself owner. I heard this acronym CPS, and it's Chief Problem Solver. So whatever problems come up, you know, whatever challenges we face on a day-to-day basis, we just got to figure out a way of fixing that. And also over and above that, one of our core values is being a servant leader. So kind of like the typical hierarchy where the boss is on top of the org chart. Well, as a servant leader, I put myself at the bottom of the org chart. You know, my job is to coach and support our team. You know, first, obviously, I've got to cast a vision, set the direction of the company. But beyond that, you know, my job is to coach and support the team to achieve those desired results and really just to pour into our team, give them whatever they need to be successful. So that's what I try to do every day. I mean, certainly some days I do better than others, but that's genuinely my goal each and every day. And just to take care of our team at all costs, as well as our culture, because obviously, you know, you can work very hard for a long time to build a strong culture and a great reputation, but you let the wrong person in the doors and that reputation can go south real quick. So I'm extremely protective about making sure we bring the right people into the company to protect that culture and everybody's livelihoods.
Along those lines, you're not just a big contributor to your team, you're a big contributor to your community. So tell us about some of your community projects.
Some of the smaller things that we do, several people on the team, but certainly my wife is a major animal lover. So we take care of the local Humane Society. We pretty much take care of all their stuff for free, try to serve them. The local youth programs, high schools, you know, any of the school programs, we do a lot of the sponsorships there, which, you know, a lot of people do. One that I'm very proud of, and I know a lot of companies do this, but we just started doing it 3 years ago, but the Gift of Heat program. So Christmas time, for the last 3 years in a row, we were fortunate enough to basically install a heating and cooling system for someone that needed it for free. This last Christmas was pretty impactful. One that we did Christmas Eve, got a no heat call to a house. My son and I were on call, and this little 4-year-old girl is battling cancer, and the husband told us on the phone, you know, the situation. So went out, fixed it for free. They had two systems, but one of them had to be replaced. So we were actually able to donate that to the family and stuff like that. It's like you meet a 4-year-old with cancer on Christmas Eve and you tell me that's not a God thing. It's like, so I think we're put in positions to make a difference in people's lives. And that was one that we were very fortunate to be a part of. Beyond that, some other things that we've done, like Mark Madison, who's been a keynote speaker for Service Nation Alliance, a great guy. We've brought him in twice now. And the first time was strictly for the team, but I got to thinking about it. It's like, my goodness, man, Mark Madison's got so much wisdom and inspiration. We need to share him with the community. So we actually opened our office up and had a little event for the first time where it was called Improve Your Marriage, Improve Your Parenting and Your Life. And we had several members of the community come participate in that. And that's one we'll definitely do going forward. So that was a kind of a test case, but it worked out really well. So we'll definitely be doing more of that.
Oh my gosh, what a great idea. And Mark would have been fantastic for that. I agree with you. He's a great speaker and he's fun to be around and he is a really smart guy. Yeah. Good call.
He's incredible.
Yeah. So you've posted a lot of videos on Facebook. What is your intent with these videos? And also on Facebook, there was that picture of you officiating a wedding. What was that about? Is that part of your portfolio now?
Yeah, it's pretty called Married Right and Guaranteed.
That's good.
Let's see. So the first part of your question, when we do these videos, I mean, number one, we want to let people in the community know who we are and what we're about. So that's a big part of it. The other side of it is, David, I have not watched the news in probably 7 or 8 years just because it became, there's so much negativity, you know, bad stuff in, bad stuff out. I'm like, you know what? I just want positive stuff in my life. So turned off the TV, you know, they're going to binge watching good series with my family. But let's put some positivity out there. So when we have good things happening in the company, you got all these great team members doing great things, like, let's share that type of stuff. And it's amazing how many people comment on it and how much they enjoy the positivity we put out. So that is a big thing. And now we're even starting to do our own little podcast. That's part of it as well. We just want to put a lot of positive stuff out there in the world. Now, back to the officiating part. That was
married right and guaranteed.
So I've actually been blessed to do 4 weddings so far, 2 of which were actually for team members. And my very first one was a guy used to work for me that asked me to do it. So I went ahead and got ordained just to marry him and his wife. And then, of course, then my brother-in-law did, my nephew. Well, the most recent one that I think the picture you saw is my favorite young man on the planet, which is my son. They actually asked me to marry him and his wife. So I tell you, David, like, you talk about an honor and a guy who considers himself, you know, somewhat of a tough guy. Man, I was getting choked up on David. It was tough, but I was honored.
My father married us. It's great to do that. Good for you. That's fantastic. You've been a mentor to a number of people in our industry. You've got a lot of experience in our industry. If you are talking to people who are just entering our industry, what advice would you give them?
Before I even answer that, first, I really want to thank you, David, because I mentioned, you know, how you were there and helped me to join Service Nation Alliance. But beyond that, you've introduced me to some of my best mentors that have made dramatic differences in our life. Starting out with John and Vicki LaPlante, you know, they're just incredible people that probably helped more people in this industry that I can't imagine anybody else has helped more than those two have. As they started going towards retirement, they turned it over to Tom Peregrino, who's one of the most amazing men on the planet. So just knowing how important a good mentor is, that's something that we've certainly tried to give back as well. Now, I'm sorry to answer your question, but I didn't want to not thank, you know, the people that I know have been phenomenal mentors to us. And so many more, and there's a lot more that I didn't mention. But I think I got 3 things here. Number one is don't be afraid of failure. When I first started Fixed Right, I still had those limiting beliefs from my real estate debacle, not making the best decisions, and it held me back for a long time. But what I finally realized is failure is an event. Failure is not a person, you know. Yeah. And if you study the most successful people in the world, what do they all have in common? You know, they've all failed, you know, many, many times, probably more than the average person. So just got to get back up, you know. So when you have those tough days, realize that that's just part of the process. You know, you don't grow and you don't succeed without some bumps, bruises, and even some failures along the way. So that's one. Number two is something I think we've done very well, which is mastering the art of R&D. we've Robin duplicated a whole lot of stuff since joining Service Nation Alliance. Matter of fact, I joke every now and then, I don't know that I've had an original idea since we joined Service Nation Alliance. We just find someone else who's just kicking butt, you know, whatever their specialty is, and we bring it back here and implement it. Then we go find another person that's kicking butt somewhere else in the country, you know, whether it be going to visit them, talking to them on the phone. But it's all about not only just learning it, but then bringing it back and implementing it. Because a lot of people, they'll go to a lot of these Service Nation events and get all excited, but they don't come back and implement it. And that's really the big thing is, you know, implement what you do learn from all these wise people around you, especially within this organization. And then number three, and I say this is probably the most important one. And again, I'm going to give Tom Peregrino a lot of props for this one. Developing your emotional intelligence or your EQ. I've watched Tom so many times on like AB calls, and we have an amazing AB group. Like AB8 is probably one of the most special AB groups within the organization. But, you know, we've had several people come in and out, and certain people ask certain questions over and over. And just to watch like how I would answer a question versus how Tom answered a question, like his people skills were just phenomenal. And he introduced me to like the world of the DISC profiles and different things like that, and several books related to that. But we all know, like, as much of a blessing as it can be to run a business and pour into our people, we also know there can be challenges associated with people calling out sick, or maybe somebody's not doing what they're supposed to do. So developing those people skills to not only lead well, but inspire, and also knowing how to handle things when they're not going the way that they're supposed to. But don't underestimate developing your EQ, and not just yourself as the owner, but your entire management team, leadership team. Like, we actually have a person that we bring in a couple of times a year that teaches. It's like DISC. We use the a different platform called Taking Flight, which uses birds instead of DISC. But everybody takes personality profiles, and then we all go through and do some trainings on that. And not only does it help understand customers better, but like even working with their team members, they can see like why people react different ways in different situations and even understand yourself better. So all that stuff for people skills is really, really important. And I'm wishing I'd known that stuff 20 years ago because it's just helped so much.
It's frustrating at my age when I learn something. I think, why didn't I know this when I was 30?
Right? Yes. Then my former company, yeah, things would have been so much smoother had I known, you know, what I learned from you guys.
Since you mentioned the former company, I've got two follow-up questions to this. So one is, what happened to R&R?
My old business partner, he ended up selling it to a guy that used to work for us. And he actually changed the name of the company. And then one day I was riding around and I see the sticker on a unit, and doggone if another company didn't start up using the same name. So I've often wondered, you know, do they get some work looking for Roy and Robbie? But, you know, I give them credit. So there's a company, the one that was originally, there's two people working that company now. It's kind of a skeleton crew. But again, that's even under a different name. But the one that people think might actually be the old R&R is actually a very different company.
That's funny. And then you mentioned your son. So is your son still in the business with you then?
Oh, he is. He's doing amazing. He's accomplished more at 21 years old than I did in my 30s, David. Like, he's actually, we just recently promoted him to installation manager. So he's service technician as well as the install manager, but he's incredible. Like, he's in there at like 6 o'clock in the morning, along with Neil, my operations manager, making metal for the installs, lining things up, making sure everything's good, doing all the quality control checks. If problems come up, you know, he jumps off the service calls and goes helps the installers. But he's going to be quite the businessman one day. And that's the plan, is for him to take over one day.
Fantastic. That's one of the great things about this industry. You know, there's a lot of family businesses. You see dads or moms handing it off to sons or daughters. You see 3, 4, 5 generations. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And that was actually the most recent news. We just found out he and his wife are pregnant. So maybe there is a third generation coming.
I hope so. That's great. Well, congratulations on that as well. Way to go.
Thank you, David.
Well, Roy, thank you so much for doing this. It's so fun to catch up with you. And I just love what you've done with your business. What a fantastic story it is. And I look forward to hearing about all the growth in the future. So let's make sure we stay in touch.
I absolutely will. And I'm just so thankful for all that you and Matt and everybody attached to Service Nation Alliance has done. And one last thing I'll say, David, actually two last things. Number one, thank you for turning the reins over to such a great guy in Tom Peregrino, because you guys are a hard act to follow. But to turn it over to another man like him, I can't imagine anybody else that y'all could have turned it over to that would have been better. So thank you for that, number one. And then number two, I truly wish you nothing but the best in your new phase in life, and consider you a friend now. And I certainly hope that we can keep in touch, because I really appreciate so much about you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Yeah, Tom is doing a great job. And one of the biggest joys in my life is seeing people like you do so well. It just makes me happy. It's the best thing ever. So thanks for saying that. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea, or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.